Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back.
Welcome back. I got a little bit of that good morning energy, early morning energy.
Good morning energy, early morning energy. And we've got some energy drinks coming around. What are you drinking this morning?
We do. Sarah? Okay. So yeah, not an official shout out, but we'll just say this. Okay. For those that know me, I definitely like enjoy my caffeine. Also, it's early in LA. So please, my friends over at Alani actually sent me a bunch of energy drinks. I got a little bit of cherry slush action happening.
Oh my gosh. We got to put that into an icy and see what happens.
Oh, it's so good. Oh my God. Okay. Steve, the people want to know, how are you doing?
My ankle is messed up. I dragged it over here into my office. I have a new office. I haven't set it up yet because I got injured. I moved in Wednesday, hurt it Thursday, and have been limping around ever since. But big doctor's appointment today, everybody. So thank you for all the well wishes you all sent me. So many messages and voice messages. I appreciate it all. You really take for granted having two good legs. And when you have one down, it's like, man, I'm really going to get myself healthy this year. It's my goal now. That looks like a big wake-up call. Ultra healthy this year.
Dude, that's crazy. Well, I mean, I'm glad that it's not, like, broken, but obviously...
Yeah, no, what I'm lucky with is we'll give a shout out. Dr. David Negan is a good friend from college. He's an orthopedic surgeon. We're going to go see him today. He's like, yeah, dude, you're getting old. You messed up your ankle. We'll get you fixed. So,
oh, wow. He just threw it out there like that.
Straight out there. But one of the best. One of the best doctors in South Florida. So we're going to go see him today.
Well, that's cool. Well, seriously, going to, you know, send out fingers crossed and good vibes for you that everything is okay because whoo-wee.
Yeah, I couldn't let you do the show by yourself, Sarah. I couldn't let you down. So I'm here.
I mean, part of me was kind of looking forward to you like holding your phone and doing this from bed and being like, hey, good morning, guys. Early morning energy. Don't mind me. Just got my foot up here. Oh, my gosh.
I had to go to the makeup trailer. I had to get my hair done before. You know, we had to make sure we're all set.
Oh my gosh. But you've got your new digs behind you. So we're going to see that come together little by little.
Yeah. Little by little. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a nice mix of, I collect a lot of hotel historic stuff and like menus from the 1930s and 20s that'll be behind me. Yeah, I like collecting all this fun stuff.
That's super cool.
Yeah. I like that kind of stuff.
When you have that set up, we're going to do it. We'll have to talk about that. Cause I want to hear about like your favorite pieces. Cause I think that would be super cool.
We'll definitely have it set up and we'll do like a little behind the scenes special on TikTok.
We'll do a tour.
Tour of the office.
A tour of the office. Bring your viewers to work day. I love it.
Well, listen, I appreciate you, Sarah, for checking in on me. You sent me some nice notes. We appreciate it. All right. Appreciate it very much.
I mean, I sometimes can be nice. So
all the time. Well, you were traveling. You were just around in Georgetown, where I was just that 2 weeks ago. So I was like, I know that area.
Yes, I was just in D.C. And for those that don't know, I actually went to Georgetown University. So I went to school there. And so I had a little bit of extra time and I went for a stroll. And it was crazy because it was this, like, it was after, it was still on, everybody was still on school break. So probably like 90% of the dorms were empty, but like, get this, I'm like walking around, there's like Amazon packages in front of people's dorms.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this thinking,
no theft on the streets.
Yeah. Yes. But it would also like not fly in LA. Like if I have a package outside of my door here in a building, mm-hmm. it like somebody takes it. So it was just wild being there, but it was so cool walking back. If ever anybody gets a chance to go visit, whether it's your alma mater, so your old college, a high school, elementary school, whatever it is, it's such an interesting full circle moment. And I recommend that, you know, you try to do that because that's pretty fun.
I need to go back. I've wanted to go back. I went to Florida State University, the Ooh. Florida State University.
The, ooh, with a capital T-H-E.
I got to go back. A lot of fun there. But yeah, I love Georgetown. So I liked all the little stores there. It's a nice vibe. Yeah. Kind of remind me like of Brooklyn a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had that here in Miami. We really don't have a neighborhood like that. Coconut Grove's like that a little bit.
Yeah, the Coconut Grove is kind of fun like that. Well, and by the way, that's actually where I got my start in hotels, at the Four Seasons, Washington, D.C. in Georgetown. Ooh, so that was neat being there and just seeing that and being like, okay, thank you, Four Seasons. That was kind of fun.
I always tell people when they're starting out, try to get with one of those premier brands because your life will be so much easier as you progress through.
Totally. We'll definitely have to talk about that in a little bit. But first, we didn't do this. Roll call.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. We're just like catching up. Maybe it's the painkillers. I'm just not focused.
Yeah, it's the painkillers for you. I don't have an excuse. I just have caffeine. So about that. So, guys, where are you joining us from? We'd love to know.
Yeah, anyone from Georgetown? Anyone from listening from your alma mater, you know? But yeah, we'd love to see where y'all are from. Love watching where you guys are calling in from. It's excellent.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, goodness. Oh, what does Suzanne have to say? She has to say an advancement from the bed to the chair. Oh, that's, yes, this is an advancement. So
I do. Aww. It's underneath me up on a stool. Suzanne, thanks for checking in. And she sent me a nice note as well. So thank you very much for that.
I want to give a special shout out to her because she's just great. Who we got from Miami?
Says LinkedIn user, they're on private mode, but we love seeing you from Miami, Sebastian, Florida.
Ooh.
In so many countries that have been watching. We love seeing it. I love seeing the stats on Megaphone, seeing which countries are listening.
Steve Sinclair from Bounty, by the way, Lost and Found. He is the person for your Lost and Found needs. Definitely reach out to him. Just saying.
That's true. Check out his website after you told me about it. It looks very
cool. No, it's super cool. All right. Well, you guys continue telling us where you're joining us from. Don't keep that. Don't slow that momentum. But why don't we go ahead and get into some of our topics today? Because we got some interesting ones that I think will prove to, we'll have a lot of discussion. So please chime in with your thoughts on this. Explore, and I thought this would be kind of fun because I really want to hear what Steve has to say about this, but exploring hotel food and beverage trends for 2024. So 2024 is really kind of marking this sort of exciting time for hotel food and beverage. There's definitely a focus on sustainability, innovation, personalized culinary experiences. We can go through the list here, but Steve, do you want to kind of like chime in on this?
Yeah. So listen, for listeners that don't know, prior to doing this show with Sarah and going out on my own, I've been in food and beverage my entire career through hotels.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
Were you a bartender?
I was a bartender. I was a better bartender than a server, but terrible at both. I was great with the guests, right? But if I would get like more than three orders at once, I'm like, forgot it. But I could make some great cocktails back in the early 2000s, and I still love to experiment with all the fun stuff.
I had a heavy pour. Oh, but did you do any flair?
Flair, I could do one bottle flipping because my dad taught me how to juggle. So I could do that. It's pretty good.
Wait, yep. What? Yeah. Oh,
Chad,
my gosh.
Bob Turk taught us how to juggle, so I can juggle bottles or balls?
This is going to happen on a future show. I'm going to make you juggle.
Yeah, I could do it sitting down.
And I know how to flip bottles, but that's fine.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, so in food and beverage, there's a lot going on into 2024, but this is, we're focusing on hotels. Yeah. This is not restaurants or cafes on the streets, but this is what hotels are doing. And there was an article that came out that kind of caught our eye, and I'll give you kind of the bullet points, but then I'll tell you some things about what I'm seeing out there, just because the one thing special about food and beverage is that we all get to experience it. It's not like housekeeping where, you know, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes or revenue management or things like this. Everyone can experience food and beverage and have their own opinion on it, which made my job as food and beverage director a little bit challenging at times because everyone had their opinions. But here is what is trending going into 2024. Culinary sustainability is one, right? Mm. So making sure that wherever you're sourcing is local ingredients, zero waste initiatives. There's growing emphasis on this and reducing the environmental impact on culinary operations. And there's some great brands focusing on this. One that I will give a shout out to is Six Senses Hotels, because they really have it dialed in to where you can't even be a vendor of the hotel if you don't have your own sustainability program. So you can't just be local. You have to be local. And what else are you doing to help the environment?
One Hotels, by the way, I have to chime in on them. One Hotels, they're great. I actually had the opportunity to interview one of their culinary directors that is based here in West Hollywood on my other podcast, The Creators of West Hollywood. Just random shameless plug there. No, not on purpose.
Get it in. Get it in.
But it was great to have that conversation with the food and beverage director of a brand like that. And how, so maybe we need to have somebody on to talk about this, because I think it's so important. And it's amazing what you can learn. We understand it, but if you're not in it and your property's not hyper-focused on it, you can learn so much from those who are in it to really kind of make those impactful decisions.
Yeah, one of the biggest things, and I have it here, is when I was food and beverage director, is get rid of plastic, go to glass or aluminum bottles. It's just, that's like the smallest thing. You can have the biggest impact being in hotels on your community and leading by example. So we both know Raul Leal, a CEO of SH Hotels that oversees One Hotel. So they do a great job across all their brands.
We got to talk to Raul. Maybe we'll get Raul on the show.
Get Raul on here. We'll get the CEO of SH Brands on here.
I'm going to text you, bro.
Yeah, let's get him in here. Plant-based revolution. More people going plant-based. I'm not there yet, but I've incorporated more plant-based foods into all of my meals. I'm trying to do that more and more. And you see it on menus now.
Yes.
And now for a lot of the shops, when you have, like, whether it's Forbes or some of the other travel shops, you have to have a certain amount of options on your menu that are plant-based. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see. And you, I know, are focused on being plant-based.
I am. I've been vegetarian for 10 years. I actually haven't eaten beef or pork since I was 14. So that's like a no-go. Only in the past year, and it's weird because I actually struggle with this, and I don't talk about this a lot online just because as a concierge, it's like I want to give the best recommendations and I don't want to push whatever culinary choices decisions I make on other people. But in the past year, I have started eating more fish just because of my travels. And when if I'm going to a destination that's really known for that, at least to get something more exciting that I can eat and cover. But I do, it's interesting. It's something I struggle with, but I love seeing it on menus and different options. To me, there's nothing more exciting than when I go to some place that has a heavy plant-based menu and I can be like, oh wow, there are 8 different things on this menu that I can actually order versus other times where I'm like, okay, well I can do this, but I can do a modification. And by the way, I'm the easiest vegetarian there is. I guess now pescatarian, but so I love to see it. So more plant-based options for sure. Everybody needs to be eating more fruits and veggies. It is good for you. I'm not talking about like the fake meat products, that's a whole other discussion, but like options that really heavily incorporate foods and veggies.
And people want to have, they don't want to adjust their lifestyle. Here's Omar saying Liquid Death is the water.
Yes.
If you don't know that brand, Liquid Death is a great water to be adding to your properties too. And they do a great job of marketing and branding and people know it. And you kind of feel cool drinking it because it looks like a beer.
Yeah, no. And by the way, that Liquid Death, if you guys are like struggling with any sort of marketing, definitely do a deep dive into that. Brilliant. It's a sparkling water and they like made it cool.
Yeah, like kids, my kids are like, I want that. I was like, all right, it's just water. We'll get you some water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want some mango.
But plant-based, I love seeing that. Now, the next one they put on there is hyper local experiences. So really focusing in on what makes your city uniquely local. So what I like seeing, and it's happening more and more now, is teaming up with local restaurant groups or local restaurant that are really successful and saying, hey, can we bring in some of that experience to our hotel? Whether it's just making a restaurant, adding some of their premier items to your cafe, or doing pop-ups during certain seasons. Like, there's 100 ways you can do it. And it gives your guests who don't have time to go experience the city a way to really taste and experience what's going on in the city that way.
Shout out to the Line Hotel in Austin as a random example. There are many examples out there, but they've got a really well-known taco place. I'm totally forgetting its name off the top of my head, but it's in and like part of their hotel. They also have their own restaurant, but they've got this this taco shop, and then they also have an Alfred Coffee. And I love that they're bringing in these cool brands that people know that are totally in line with their brand. Mm-hmm. But it just like when you're staying there, you're like, oh, cool, I can go get like an Alfred Coffee. And it's just downstairs in the lobby. So love seeing brands do stuff like this.
Yeah, it's great. And so my last hotel where I had to take this on, it was an initiative by Lowe's Hotels to be uniquely local. And so I had local coffee. Then we had it was cool. It was this group called the Two Korean Girls. It was two Korean girls. And cool. it was just a virtual restaurant at the time. And we took that virtual restaurant and brought it into our hotel as a little menu item. And they could try this Korean food made by two Miami locals. That was awesome. So there's 100 ways to do it. You could just add one thing to your menu that a guest would like. But guests are really looking for these local experiences. Mm-hmm. And I'll keep bringing up these reports that keep showing up in all the news is the millennials and Gen Z.
Yes.
What do they want? Experiences. So try to give it to them.
100%. 100%. There's
a couple other, but we'll hit a couple of them. Tech enhanced, I'm going to skip over. Wellness, I think, has kind of been the trend for a while now going on. Mm-hmm. And then craft beverages and local libations. So they all kind of tie into these experiences, staying healthier. The tech part, I get the contactless ordering and QR codes, but I'm ready to get back to menus.
Put away my phones. Because they also talk a little bit about augmented reality. So yeah, we know the QR codes and we all get that, but like though, and it's not for everybody, but you've seen these videos out there on social media where they're doing this augmented reality where you're sitting at the dining table and they've got all of this, like this beautiful storytelling that's happening on the table. And
yeah,
the little chef. Yeah, exactly. And then they actually then give you the plate and it's so cool. So again, totally not for everybody. That's a very specific type of experience, but fun that is out there. So
here's what's coming up next, and I'm going to start playing with it. My brother just got the Meta Ray-Ban glasses, right? They have live streaming, but also augmented reality built into it. So you can say, hey, I forget what Meta is, but hey, Meta, what am I looking at? And it will tell you what it is. And if the brands start working with them, you could be like looking at your menu and things will pop off the menu if you're wearing the glasses. So,
oh my God, I love this. Okay, we're definitely going to have to play around with that.
Yeah, we needed to get another one. So I'm waiting to get my glasses. He just got them over the weekend and it looks pretty cool.
Fun. Oh, that's really cool. Well, wow. So there you go. We definitely covered a lot in F&B. Would love to hear what you guys are seeing. Oh yeah. You need more local opportunities in Miami. Introduce your guests to the hidden gems of your city. Yes, as a former concierge, highly agree with that. But I want to shift to this next topic because I think this is so important. And we all know about the struggles in staffing and employment. And it's not just finding the right staff, but then it's also keeping and retaining. And there's this really great article. We should probably share a link to it.
Yep.
That was talking about value enhancing employees versus value destroying employees. Really fascinating because you really need to at all times, businesses are going to have a mix of both. And so it's really understanding who is actively adding to your company. So there was a research from McKinsey that found that half of employees report being relatively unproductive at work, which is so challenging, especially when you're a hotel and people have to come to work. 10% are actively engaged. And it's so challenging because you obviously need hyper engaged employees. But why are some of the reasons that people are disengaged? Main thing, there's a lack of meaningful work and they want to feel like they're at what they do adds meaning. Inadequate compensation. We're definitely, as a whole, we're working on bettering this. Lack of workplace flexibility. Also, the hotel industry, hospitality industry has definitely been working on becoming better at this. Lack of career advancement and development. Love this. I will say, when I did work at one of my last hotels, they were very clear at the beginning. They're like, are you working at this job because it's a job that you're having while you're pursuing other endeavors? Or do you want to rise up the ranks and kind of go up the managerial sort of line? We want to know at the beginning and at any point, if this changes, let us know so then we can support you accordingly. Have more of those direct conversations. Then other things, unreliable, unsupportive people at work and unsafe working environment. So these are obviously different ways that people feel sort of disengaged, but really interesting article. And then they actually talk about the different types of employees.
Yes, I saw like the quitters, which is 10%, the disruptors, the mildly dissatisfied, the poly workers, the committed, the high achievers. And so that's like the categories they put everybody into.
Yeah. Like, and so what's cool, like the committed, so those group of people, they go above and beyond consistently for their work. That generally speaking, they make up about 38% of the workforce. And then the high achievers, like the rock stars, about 4%. So I thought this was just so great to forget the percentages. I mean, fine, that's obviously going to change and vary based off of property. But I love that you have this idea of, okay, you have a better sense of who your employees are. Okay, that person definitely falls under the quitters category, the disruptors, mildly dissatisfied, poly workers where they are working multiple jobs, committed, high achievers. And then when you can look at your employees holistically, you have a better sense on who makes up your employee base.
It's true.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's just something that what I would like to see from the listeners, if you're watching live, maybe give us a thumbs down if you're working with some of these value destroying people, because I know we've also been in organizations where you're just trying to hire people. You're hiring faster than normal because the latest stats say there's 800,000 open hospitality jobs out there. So you're bringing in some of these people that maybe aren't the most qualified. And then all of a sudden you're stuck with, I hate this job. I don't want to be here. I can't believe I'm having to work every holiday and just being that negative Nancy.
Yeah.
Makes it really tough.
So two things here. Omar's comment, by the way, if we could bring that up, that was great. A fascinating article about how underperformers affect those around them. We all know the phase, a bad apple can really like.
Right quick.
Yeah, exactly. So not only is it being mindful of those bad apples that are in the workforce, but the other thing in this article is a really important reminder is the number one way that you can keep your employees engaged is good management. A Gallup survey found that 70% of variance in team engagement and well-being all came down to team leaders. So really invest in your managers, do side trainings for them because it all stems from them. They create the work environment. So I cannot stress that enough, especially in today's climate. So great article, right?
Yeah, I need to go back and reread it once more and share it with my team because we're doing that now. Yeah. Our vacation rental company is, do we have the right people in the right seats? Do they have the capacity to do the job? Are they committed to doing the job? And do they care about doing the job? And so if we can get those things tightened up, we're going to be in great shape. But I think a lot of people have to look at that. And Kamal saying, promote a healthy work-life balance by scheduling shifts effectively.
Yeah.
Respecting employees' time off.
Totally.
Yeah, Kamal, that's something that hospitality has been bad at. And that's up to the leaders. And so, Kamal, I see you probably are a leader. You have to walk the walk as well. You can't just talk the talk, not just you, Kamal. I'm saying the leaders out there, because I hear it. Where they're like, oh my God, this guy is complaining because I called him in on his day off. Like, well,
and
you wouldn't want to be called in on your day off either.
No. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a tightrope to walk on. It's a 24/7 business. Like you have to have people helping out. So it is what it is. But you know, trying to staff accordingly and just be supportive. And, you know, if somebody does you a solid, you try to do a solid back. Like I'm a huge, huge supporter of that. So really great article. We can share that link later, but Let's
move on. Let's do it.
Things. Okay, wait. So I kind of like talked a little bit about this actually on Instagram yesterday, and actually shared a bit of it on TikTok just because I've got a lot of travelers that tune in there and I wanted to hear their thoughts on this. So a piece came out. My buddy Peter Greenberg, CBS News editor, we had done a piece where more hotels are charging fees for early check-in and even late checkout. And interesting, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. Certainly, if you're tuning in, let us know. Does your hotel charge a fee for early check-in? And no, I'm not talking about paying the whole room rate for the night before, not that, but an actual fee for early check-in or a fee for a late checkout. So let us know. Steve, did any of the properties that you worked at, did they do this?
They did not, but I like it. I would pay an early check-in fee if I knew my room would be ready when I land at 10 a.m. and not have to wait till 4 o'clock check-in time. And I get why there's a check-in time. A lot of people don't get it. Like, why do I have to wait till 4 o'clock?
Totally.
Right? Because someone checked out at 11 and we need to clean that room and do things. And so I don't know how they would get it ready for me. I'm not the housekeeping specialist, but if someone checks out early or they have that room on hold from the night before, that's lost revenue. So I'm trying to figure out how they would effectively not lose money.
Yeah.
But I would pay it. I would do it.
Totally. And well, and I think it's something. So I did speak to a colleague, a concierge friend of mine here in Los Angeles. And for a while, kind of like in that soft spot after the, you know, the pandemic, it was a Sofitel in Los Angeles. They were actually charging an early check-in fee. And I believe it was about $100. And the reason why they were doing it is that people would come in, and certainly being in Los Angeles, we get a lot of people that come in from Australia, for example, and they come in right on that 7 a.m. flight. And next thing you know, they're waiting in the lobby at 10 a.m. exhausted, but they didn't want to commit to a whole, you know, room rate from the night before. And so this was a nice alternative where the hotel had the rooms available. And so they're like, well, it is available. We can definitely get you in earlier. It's a $100 fee. And people were gladly paying it. So I'm not opposed to it. Obviously the whole thing is that, you know, as a hotel, you have to explain it and tell them that, but that kind of comes with the
Suzanne kind of mentioned the same thing.
Yeah. Doesn't the check-in fee impact you if you had a red eye versus
the night before? Yeah. So that's the loss of revenue. Like, it depends on the hotel structure. So if you're lower, you know, occupancy percentage, I'm opening up that early check-in option for everybody, because I know those rooms have been cleaned, they're vacant, inspected, ready to go. But if you're sold out, that's going to be that challenge. Maybe it's going to be seasonal and based when you can do it and earn some extra income.
Ooh, so Kamal saying in New York City, early check-ins range from $79 to $224. Love that. Great, great numbers, Kamal.
Yeah. Thank you. Man, appreciate the stats, Kamal, coming through here. And I love that you're participating here today.
Yeah, so, no, this is really useful.
No, I'm all about it, but I'm starting to see more and more fees everywhere, right? Yeah. And so we talked about this a little bit. And talking about Washington, D.C., I just put a post on LinkedIn this morning. So if you're watching this, you can go check it out. There was an Initiative 82 fee on all of my restaurant checks. That's and then a lot of the restaurants said, hey, just a big sign, increasing this fee 8%. So I think it's just becoming more and more of our life where people adding fees, but there's also more options for guests to make it flexible. Like, this is a good one. Like, I like this. If I could pay extra to check in and guarantee like that overnight, and I'm not sitting in a lobby when I get somewhere in Europe from Miami, I'd do it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's a good thing. If it works for your property and the clientele, why not? So, and if you're upfront about it, hey, perfect. I would also think maybe there's a little bit of a wiggle room there, depending on how much they're paying per night and how long they're staying. You might, you know, if it looks
if they're buying the big presidential suite at 10 grand a night, like, all right, come on through, Sarah, like Sarah does. Sarah books these presidential suites.
That's what I do. I roll in. Yeah. I roll heavy. I roll deep.
Steven Sinclair would pay. Arriving to work with young kids. Yep. I've got a 5 and a 7-year-old, soon to be 6 and 8. That's 100%.
It's a great alternative, you know.
And Arnaldo saying the same. It's a high risk option. Yes. Unless if you don't do it the right way, you could have a lot of angry people in the lobby.
Oh, yeah. No, no. I think it should be available. It has to be based on availability day of. You can't promise it ahead of time. If you want to guarantee ahead of time, you have to pay for the room the night before.
Ooh. I want to guarantee my 11 a.m. check-in.
Nope. Nope. Good
luck. Tough over there.
All right. Wow. We got to be mindful of the time. We'll just quickly touch on this topic in travel and then we'll just like wrap up here.
Yeah.
So Alaska Airlines, everybody talking about it. whoa, if you saw, well, first of all, it's been a bad 2 weeks for airlines from the Japan Airlines issue. There's other stuff going on. Alaska Airlines here. For those that haven't been following along, an Alaska Airlines flight from Oregon down to SoCal, where I'm at, they took off on Friday, this last Friday, and basically their emergency exit door popped off. Luckily, they
blew off.
Blew off. Yeah, man.
Blew off and almost sucked people out.
Luckily, they had just taken off and they were just getting up to like cruising altitude. I mean, luckily, like all things considered. And there's audio actually of the pilot super calm, you know, just talking everybody through it, and then was able to do a safe landing. And luckily, nobody got majorly hurt. Nobody died. Nobody got majorly hurt. But whoa.
Imagine if that was your seat. Like all of a sudden you're just like reading whatever book you're reading, Sarah.
Yeah.
And your door flies off.
And it was crazy because then they actually found like a cell phone. So that was the whole thing. Like an Apple iPhone, like an iPhone fell out of somebody's hand and like obviously blew out of somebody's hand and survived impact and was still functioning.
All right. Shout out to Apple.
And they also found the door as well too. But this is a big thing for, it was a Boeing 737 MAX.
I would not be flying on them. I'm going to be looking at everything I'm booking to make sure I'm not on any of those planes.
Well, primarily Alaska and United are the airlines that primarily have these particular planes. So definitely take a look, check them out. I think they are going to, this is still like a evolving case. So, I'm pretty sure that they're going to start pulling them. I know that Boeing came out, if they haven't already pulled them. So,
well, they're inspecting them all, and they've found that a lot of the doors on the other planes are have the same issue where they weren't tightened. And so that came out yesterday and the day before. They're inspecting all of them. So now they're all grounded of that type of plane. So check your tickets, people. I don't want anyone being sucked out. Okay. You heard it from us. Stay safe.
Side note on this, just planting that seed. Remember a couple weeks back where Alaska came out that they were wanting to merge with Hawaiian. And by the way, you know, they just because they have the money and they say they want to do this doesn't mean that they can. So they have to actually be approved for this. So curious to see where this falls in line with that. Yeah, I mean, that's going to, I'm curious about how the impact of this, obviously, certainly with flights, but then how this maybe impacts that merger. Yep. I don't know.
Let's go check the stock prices. We're not giving any inside info here, people. No. All right. We're just going to go check and see what's going
just
on.
Connecting the dots. Okay. We'll do just a super quick speed round for the sake of time of real-time recap. You got a real-time recap?
I have it. I didn't go anywhere other than the hospital for my ankle. So I want to give a shout out to Mount Sinai here in Miami Beach because Nurse Michael, I wish I got his last name, treated us great. And not knowing who I was or anything, was like, hey, I have your mimosa here, which is orange juice. Little snack for you while you wait. Made sure I had warm blankets because it was cold in there. He had warmed them, brought them out. So just nice hospitality within the hospital settings where it just goes a long way, especially when you're not feeling good.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, I mean, hospitals, but the hospital and hospitality.
Yeah, that should be a whole training. There's some terrible hospitals I've been in. This one, excellent. Top of the line.
For sure. Oh, no, that's awesome. My quick real-time recap, the experience I had. Actually, interestingly enough, I happened to have a client that had stayed at my first hotel I worked at, the Four Seasons Washington, D.C. I had sort of a little issue with the reservation. She had stayed there, then she extended it. They did something to it. They basically created a new reservation and lost some data. And I called them up yesterday just to kind of connect the dots on some things with the reservation. And they were like, oh my goodness. They're like, first of all, they're like, oh, let's look into it. And then they came back on. They're like, oh, we see the details. We're going to connect it all right now. Our apologies. There was an oversight on that. But they were so quick and forthcoming with just fixing the little issue that we had with the reservation. So shout out to the Four Seasons, Washington, D.C., my first hotel. I didn't even tell them that I had worked there. So I was completely anonymous calling in. They have no idea my relationship to the hotel. So that was really nice to see that still after all these years, they're really knocking it out of the park. So that was cool. So shout out to them. All right. Our hospitality quote. You ready for this?
You got it today.
Okay, fine. Okay. You can excuse an ugly building if the staff delivers the right service. It's much nicer to have a combination of both things, obviously, but the staff at the end of the day are the service, by Rocco Forte. So, we've talked about this many times, and I know that that's like something that we're very passionate about. Staff makes the experience. People are not coming for the thread count of your sheets. They're not coming for your marble floors. Yes, those are nice bonuses. That they are coming because of how they are made to feel. And that's the tipping point.
Yep. I recently stayed at a hotel that is not my style at all.
Oh.
But it might
some other people. How would you describe it? If you don't want to say their name, how would you describe it?
Eclectic vintage beach boutique hotel.
Okay. Right. Not your style.
Yeah. But the people there, amazing. And yeah. I told my family, I was like, I would come back here. I was with my dad. I was like, just because the people here are so nice, make you feel so warm, I would come back many times.
Nice.
Style, not my style.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I'll just say this quick thing. Many years ago when the Ace Hotel opened up in downtown LA, my dad happened to come out in the height of summer. It was super busy. Nobody could give me a friends and family rate, not even the hotel I worked at. And, but I could get a rate at the Ace Hotel in downtown LA. And for anybody that's familiar with it, you know, we're talking about like exposed, like cement walls, bed super low to the floor. And I booked him there and he called me up. He was laughing. He was like, this is an interesting style. And, you know, he's like 6'2" and the bed is super low. And he's like, wow. He's like, I guess they really saved on money by not having to like add insulation. Well, and I was dying. I was like, note to self, not dad style. Noted.
I think we can end with like the two comments from Suzanne and Federica saying many reviews saying the hotel wasn't the spot, but they liked it. And Suzanne saying, I've managed some ugly properties. Good job calling out the ugly properties, but you had an amazing team. It's true. We've all had that one place.
All about the team. Well, wow. We have gone a little bit over. Want to be mindful and respectful of everybody's time. What a great show.
I think we did great.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I showed up for you. I'm never going to let you down, Sarah.
You did. Although next time I would like to see your leg up on the desk. You got to be like elevated. Come on. That's what you got to be doing. You got to make sure blood flows right. All that stuff.
I don't know if I can lift it that high right now.
You're like, I'm not that flexible, Sarah. Okay. Noted. Yoga classes start as soon as
we cover it up. Ultra healthy this year. I want everyone calling me out. I'm staying ultra healthy 2024.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Oh, thank you so much, Mark, for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for joining us live. And if you're listening to this on the replay, we also appreciate you as well, too. So if you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends. Hopefully you've already subscribed, but be sure to do that. Share it with friends that might like it as well, too, in the hospitality industry, or even if they just like the hospitality industry. We're all part of it. Right.
That's exactly right. And if you just like us, come hang out with us every week.
Come hang out. We try to keep it interesting. So stay tuned next week because we're going to add a new feature called Way Back Wednesday that I have created with Steve behind the scenes. So we are going to share some pictures of us from way back in our hospitality days. So just teasing that out there. You're not going to want to miss this.
I see Cabana Boy Steve out there. We'll see.
Whoa, Cabana Boy Steve.
Until next week.
Yes. See you guys.